Another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to be with you as always and looking forward to going into God's Word to find the answers to the questions that may be on your heart. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions right now, so go ahead and call. Don't delay. Go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We focus our attention on what God's Word says because we believe that God is the one that has all control. We believe that Jesus is, in fact, His Son and thus the Savior, and we believe that the Bible is the Word that God has provided us now, so that we might know all things that pertain unto life and those things that pertain unto godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And so we go there knowing that God's truth is revealed in His inspired Word. And that has been designed to equip us unto every good work, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so we encourage you right now to go ahead and call in your questions, and we will do our best just to stay out of God's way and to let His Word speak. Go ahead and call right now. That number again is 308-9564, 308-9564.
Now, there's a second way you can communicate with us, and that is through our cell phone. Through your cell phone, if you would like to text us, you can text us at 725-9283. That would be area code 843, 725-9283. And you can text us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. If you would rather call us by voice, our voice line is area code 843-308-9564. Now, if you have friends or relatives that are in other states or other parts of the world, if you would like to communicate with them and let them tune in, they can do so. They do not have to listen with a radio. They can go over the Internet and tune us in as well by going to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can tune in through the Internet. And so be sure to let them know that it is area code 843 if you encourage them to tune in through the Internet. We are more than happy to have you join us. We literally have people join in this each week from all over this metropolitan area and many other places in the world as well. And so we're glad to be able to share with you the riches from God's Word, because if we miss out on knowing what God intends for us, then, my friends, we have missed out on everything. If we miss heaven, we have missed everything. And so let's not do that. And there's a lot of ways that we can do that by listening to the wrong authority, the wrong information, being instructed by the wrong source. We've got to go to the Bible. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul himself says, though we are an angel from heaven, so he didn't have the right, nor angels from heaven have the right, that if any one of them preach any other gospel to you than what was preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word accursed is the Greek word anathema, which would be like a super curse. It would be the worst kind of curse. That's what God wants to happen to Paul, an angel from heaven, and especially one of us. If we come up with anything new from that's not in God's Word, then that will cause us to receive that curse. So, my friends, what have you been listening to? What did you listen to today? Are you sure that was according to God's Word? Do you have questions about that? Then why not find out here and now? Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. You can call in your question right now. Your question can be written down and brought into us, or you might. You can choose to go live over the radio. The choice is yours. You're welcome to do that. Just don't miss out on this opportunity to get the answer to the questions on your mind. Now, we do ask, if you want to go live, that you be ready to turn your radio down when we start talking, and we would like to have your name as well so that we can be polite and address you by name on the radio. So that's the only thing that we ask. The choice is yours. You can go live, or you can have your question written down, but by all means, don't miss out on today's opportunity to find what God has to say about the question on your mind. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Now, last week we were talking about the kind of heart that we should have, a heart that's searching after God. We talked briefly about a man that was an Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8th chapter, and we also made mention of a man by the name of Cornelius, a centurion, and that's found in Acts chapter 10. Today we'll focus our attention on this man Cornelius and those characteristics that where he shows that he has this heart that is searching, a heart that is searching, a heart that is searching after God, a heart that is trying to be found by God. And we all need to make sure we have that heart. Maybe you're listening to the broadcast today, maybe this is your first time, and this has caught your attention because you have some questions, you've heard a lot of things, and you really want to know what does the Bible say. That really is the kind of heart that God is looking for, a person who wants to know what God's Word says, what His Word says. That should be our motivation. In Acts the 10th chapter, we read of this man named Cornelius, and the Bible shows that this man was absolutely a religious man. In the first three verses, the Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Verse 2 is key. It says, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. This man was a religious man. This man was a giving man. This man was a praying man. And what's going to surprise you is that for as religious as this man was not saved. What you're going to find out is that he's going to be told to send for Peter, and Peter was to come to his house. And if you note in chapter 11 and verse 14, Peter was to tell him and his entire household words whereby he and his household could be saved. And so for as religious as this man was still lost. And yet we are able to see that even in his lost state, this man had the right kind of heart to search after God. We go back and we see in verse 2 that this man was a praying man. We see that this man was a generous man. We see that this man was devout, committed to being spiritual, trying to be spiritual. You know, it may be that there are listeners that are doing the very best they can with what they understand, and they don't know what to do. We encourage you to give us a call, ask your questions, or sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course that we offer. That can be a tool to help lead you to the truth. If you're interested in the Bible Correspondence Course, it's really a Bible study that you can take in your home. It is absolutely free. You go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. Again, that number is 553-5157. But if you have a question, you call in your question. Search the scriptures, for in them you can have life, because these scriptures are the living word of God. Call in your question and let us go to God's word that we might let the Bible speak. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. 308-9564.
We do want you to be aware of that if you enroll in that correspondence course, it will be free. We will not ever ask for a handout or a donation in any way, and the operator standing by will get your information, and that course will be sent in the mail to you. Now, sometimes I will go and visit, have opportunity to meet some of you face-to-face, and you wonder why that you didn't get any more lessons. Well, let me encourage you to know that a course is where you get the first lesson in the mail. You take it, study it, look up all the scriptures, see whether those things are so, fill out the questions, and then send the lesson back in the mail to us. When you send it back to us, we will in turn grade it, in which then we will turn around, send it back to you along with the next lessons involved. I think during the second mailing, we send two lessons, and then the third mailing, we send three lessons. And so that way you can be able to study those in the convenience of your home at any time during the day or night. You get up 3 o'clock in the morning sometime, you can just go to your Bible and read through and study in the quietness of such a moment and be able to have a blessing from God even in the middle of the night. So if you've never enrolled in this course, why not do that right now? The operator is standing by at 553-5157, in which we are more than happy to send this to you free of charge. Again, that's 553-5157. 1-800-273-8157. And we're more than happy to share the wealth of God's Word with you. So don't miss out on this opportunity. You probably will learn things in the course of this study that you may have never seen before, never have recognized, or never had the opportunity to hear, because the God of this world pretty much has he's the one of this world. He's the ruler of this world in a carnal sense. And so every kind of church that there is out there, it doesn't mean that all of them are serving God, especially when all of them are telling different things. And so what we need to do is to find out, what is it that God wants? The only way we're going to do that is let's go to the Bible on all questions that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according to his divine knowledge, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When God has given it all, that means there is no more remaining. And so let's not miss out on this opportunity to see what God says in his word, and we will be glad to help you in this. But the bottom line is, whether we share it with you or whether you find it in some other way, that the bottom line is, God is the one that needs to be consulted on all questions that pertain to life and godliness. So let's not miss out on this opportunity. Go ahead and call in your question right now. Both lines are available, by the way, the voice lines, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question here?
I do. Cecilia calls. Cecilia asks, she says, is the popular phrase, if I take one step, God will take two, in the Bible? If not, what does it mean, and why do so many people say it? Well, I just did a quick search, and I don't see that phrase in the Bible, the idea, if I take one step, God will take two. Now, is that a principle that we see in the Scripture? I think there's a principle that clearly comes up, the idea that God expects us to do our part. And for as long as we do our part, he will absolutely do the rest, whatever our part is. An example of that might be John the 11th chapter. In John chapter 11, we read about a man by the name of Lazarus who died. And he had two sisters, and his sisters wept over him. This man, Lazarus, was a friend of Jesus. And Jesus is not in the city when Lazarus dies, but Jesus gets word, and Jesus, in essence, delays his return. And so this man, Lazarus, stays in the grave for several days. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus tells the sisters, tell me where he's at. Take me to where he's at. And so they would take Jesus to where they had laid Lazarus. And Jesus does something interesting in this text, John the 11th chapter. In verse 39, Jesus says, take away the stone. So when Jesus gets to where Lazarus is at in John chapter 11, verse 39, Jesus said to them, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And according to verse 42, he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloths, Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Now, that's a lengthy reading, but it really makes the point. You go back in that text and you'll take a note that Jesus told them to move the stone. He says that in verse 39. We see that they move the stone in verse 41, and then Jesus would call Lazarus out of the grave. Now, if Jesus can raise the dead, why couldn't he move a stone? You get the point? You see, he could have, but he expected them to do their part. and then he will do his part. And that is consistent with what we see in the scriptures, that if we do our part, God will always do his part. You know, you move the stone, and I'll raise the dead. If you do your part, I'll always do my part. If you will be my people, God says, I will be your God. And God's part is always the bigger part in many cases. The only way a person can have the forgiveness of sins is if God would send a sacrifice. He sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for us. That is huge. And what he requires of us is to obey him, to do what he says. That is tiny. Tiny by contrast to the sacrifice that had to be paid in order for our sins to be forgiven. You move the stone, he'll raise the dead. It's time for us to take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. That number to call is 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. Go ahead and take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course. We mentioned this earlier. It is free of charge. Go ahead and call the operator standing by and sign up for that free Bible study in your home, 553-5157. Again, that number is 553-5157. But now to join us here at the station with your question, go ahead and call 308-9564. We are ready to take your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a text caller calling in this question. They want to know their phone number is the last three digits is 368. We want to say thank you for listening and thank you for calling in and giving us your question. Their question is, where in the Word, in the Bible, does it say, pay your pastors and teachers? Well, let's just do a quick search of that, and lo and behold, it doesn't say it. It doesn't say it that way anyway. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about how that those that labor in the Word should also live of the Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we will see it in verse 14. It says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And so that would be a principle. Anybody that labors should be paid for their labor, and so if they're laboring in the gospel, they can live of that. Go ahead and read the first half of that chapter. And you'll see that principle elaborated on a great deal. Now, with that said, what we witness going on today, and that is that in many congregations out there, that the preacher is treated almost to the level to where that they are considered divine sometimes, and to where that they are to be treated far above anybody else in the congregation. Now, that principle we do not see at all. Matter of fact, what we see is that the Lord said that those who would be greatest must become the servant of all. And so if you look and you see the way that many are treated today that may occupy the role or position of a, quote, pastor or evangelist preacher or whatever, a lot of other names or titles that they will ascribe to, including some of them with God's name. When you look at how they're treated as if they are more important or elevated to where that they have a higher, should be higher esteemed than anybody else. Now, we just don't see that. When you look at 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, not only Paul's letters, but also the ones that Peter wrote and John wrote, you do not see any of them describing themselves as the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or any title, matter of fact. Now, Peter was an apostle. Paul was an apostle. John was an apostle. But you never hear them referring to themselves with titles or even being elevated. Matter of fact, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. He says, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Christ is the one that is the standard, not man. Christ is the one who said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if Jesus says, I have all authority, then that means that we have none. He is to be elevated and to get all honor and all glory, and man is to get none. We are all brethren and to be treated the same. I believe we have a live caller standing by the name of
Sam,
is live on there, would like to discuss something with us. Sam, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Let's get you up high enough.
Okay. I was reading the Bible, as usual, and I came across a chapter, Psalms 144. It talks about clapping of the hand, snapping of the finger, making war. Can you explain that a little more? Is it telling me that do I have the power, you know,
Well, Sam, this is a Psalm of David, and so here you have David in this Psalm really reaching out to God. You note in verse 1 where you see the word Lord in all caps. Lord means that's the unpronounceable name of God, YHWH in Hebrew, so it's Yahweh. And he says, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war. So here David is giving thanks to God, and he's giving credit to God. For all the victories that he has gained, or being able to go out to war and being able to be prepared for war, he's given God the glory in that. And he seems to be looking at it from a humility perspective. If you take and you note verse 3, he says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? So in the first two verses there, he gives God the glory for this idea of him being able to perform in war, right? In verse 1, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battles? My loving kindness, my fortress, that's who he's calling God that. He says, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people unto me. He's giving God all the credit. And then in verse 3, seemingly you have the statement of humility. What is man by contrast to God? That seems to be at least the context as we go down into this text.
Was it another person? I think Naomi's nephew who said, you know, keep me from evil and be my hand and expand my territory. I can't think of his name offhand. You know, it was Naomi's in the Old Testament. He said, God, guide my hand, keep me from evil.
I can't think of... what you're saying sounds very familiar, but I cannot think of
Jabez's prayer.
Jabez, the prayers of Jabez.
Enlarge my borders and try to increase my influence.
And guide my hand. So, I mean, that's almost the same as Psalms 144. Am I correct?
Say your question again.
The prayers of Jabez. He's asking God to guide his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expand his territory, keep him from evil.
Right.
You know,
what you're asking is a consistent request. The scriptures from the perspective of people making a request to God to guide them, to lead them. Now, in this particular context, chapter 144, David's talking about war, and what you allude to with Jabez, he's talking about expanding his borders. I'm not sure I understand your question, but I think what we do see consistently is that there are those in the scriptures who make requests of God, and it is absolutely appropriate for God to take care of them, for God to protect them, for God to be their tower, for God to bless them. Those are consistent requests.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just thinking out the box, so I thank you.
Well, thank you. We sure do appreciate your call and joining us as we go to the Bible for the answers. Thanks,
right.
Sam.
Right. Bye.
Again, the number, if you have a question that you would like to ask, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Or if you'd rather text in your question, you can do that as well by simply calling 725-9283, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. So the text line is 725-9283. Or you can call in your question over the voice line, and that is 308-9564. There is one line available on the voice line, so if you call right now, just let it, go ahead and let it ring, and we'll eventually get to you. So that's 308-9564.
We started our discussion this afternoon talking about this man by the name of Cornelius, who had demonstrated the kind of heart that seeks after God, and that's the kind of heart that we all want to have. We noted that in Acts chapter 10 that this man was a spiritual-minded or a spiritual man. He was spiritually minded in that even prior to him being saved, this man was engaged in religious activities, which again just shows his heart that he was actually seeking after God. And someone says, well, what kind of religious activity are we talking about? Well, in the text, it says in verse 2, he was a devout man. And this is Acts 10, verse 2, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, God, this man, Cornelius, would see an angel. God would send an angel to him. And then this angel told him to send for Simon Peter. And what's interesting is that as soon as he gets this message, he does that. He actually sends for Simon, not only does he send for him, but these folks go to Peter, and they talk about this man named Cornelius, and even they kind of give an appraisal of this man, how good he was. If you take a note in Acts chapter 10 and verse 21 and 22, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." And so this man, Cornelius, he was told to do something by God. He actually does it. And then as they give an appraisal of him, they say that this man is a just man. They say that this man is one who fears God. And I want to suggest that those who have a seeking heart, they are of this caliber. They are just. They fear God. They have this kind of mindset. They're chasing after God. And maybe as they read the Bible, because the Bible sometimes can be complex to understand, you don't understand everything you read, but you don't stop. You continue to dig. You continue to search. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or trying to divide the word of truth. And in that, you find yourself asking questions, but don't put yourself in a box. Don't just ask one person a question. You ask as many people as you can, and then you balance that by what you see in the scriptures. What you have right now today is an opportunity to ask some questions, and we will do our best to go to God's word for the answer. Do you have a heart like Cornelius? Are you seeking after spiritual things? If so, go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. To send us a text question, you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. We've come upon the time to take our another break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. Be diligent about seeking after God, and a way you can do that is by taking advantage of the opportunity that you now have to call in your questions. We're going to tell you about a free Bible study that you can receive in the mail. That's another way that you can be diligently seeking after God. We're going to tell you about that in just a few moments, so pay close attention. If that's something that you're interested in, make sure you call in. We're going to give you a number to call. But right now, if you want to call in your question here at the station for us to answer, go ahead and call 308-9564. We'll be right back. Again, that number to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. If you would be interested in a home study, if that's something that you're interested in, as our schedule would permit, we will do our best to get in touch with you. So you can let the operator standing by know that that's something that you're interested in as well. Again, that number is 553-5157. To call your question right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We are glad to be able to be with you today, and so please don't miss out on getting this Bible material free of charge in the mail. Sometimes we forget to think that, you know, a lot of times people we've talked to can't believe that it is free. But we will never ask for a handout. We'll never ask for you to send a donation in any way. And the reason for that is because Jesus nor the apostles ever ask for money, nor should we. So please, you're about to hear something you don't hear on the radio and you don't hear on TV. Here I go. You ready? Please do not send us your money. Do not send us your tithes, your offerings. But rather, let us have the privilege of sending you treasure, the treasure that moth and rust do not, corrupt, and moth does not corrupt, nor thieves break in and steal, but the treasure that will never be taken from you. Let us send you a way to learn what God would want you to know about life and godliness. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Again, that number is 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak through a Bible correspondence course, and we're happy to send that to you. The operator is standing by right now. Again, that number, if it's busy, just hang up and then wait a moment or two and hit redial. That number is 553-5157. Now, if you have a Bible question, you want to call us directly here at the studio at 308-9564. That's 308-9564. And the lines are now available, so you can call and join us and ask your questions, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. We have Ben calling in the question. Ben, thank you so much for your question and for your tuning in. And his question is, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, please explain why they would think it's strange. And what is it they think it's strange or is strange? All right, well, let's just read it in 1 Peter chapter 4. This is an awesome chapter, by the way. Those of you that are listening with an open Bible, you want to turn to this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, you'll notice that this is not the only phrase or a place where this is used. You'll notice it also back in verse 4. Where after talking about walking after the lust of the flesh from licentiousness or sexual sins, drunkenness, revelries, abominable idolatries, in other words, just being a person of the world, he says that you no longer are doing that in verse 2. And then in verse 4 he says, and regard to this, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation or running right along with them. And thus they speak evil of you. So that's one reason you're no longer of the world. You don't look like them. You don't walk like them. You don't, I guess in this case, you won't smell like them. I mean, and you're just going to be different. And they're going to think you're strange. Well, when we get to verse 12, where you're at, we see a very similar progression. Let's start back at verse 11. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So we're going to talk like God wants us to talk. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. So really, the truth is, it's no longer we're no longer serving ourselves. We're serving God, and we're his servants now, that in all things God may be glorified. So when something good is done or accomplished or achieved, well, we're just obeying God, so we're not to get the credit for this, but we're doing what God says through Christ Jesus, to whom belong through the glory and dominion forever and ever. So to whom we belong in Christ Jesus, to Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. As though it is strange, a strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are that you partake of Christ's sufferings. That when he is glory, when he, his glory is revealed, I'll say it right in a second, when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And so if you're approached in the name of Christ or for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer. Don't deserve the the suffering or the those that would speak evil of you. If you suffer because of your own sin, well, don't glory in that, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, someone serving the Lord, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So if they think it's strange that now you're walking differently, you're walking according to what God says, you're walking by what he tells us to do and to say, you're walking on that straight and narrow path, and someone thinks, well, you're weird. Well, just consider that a blessing. Because we do not want to look like, taste like, smell like, act like, or behave like the world. We're not to be of the world. We can't escape it while we occupy these containers, these bodies. But the truth of the matter is, we're not supposed to be a product of the world. We're supposed to now, once we serve the Lord, to be a product of his doing, of his making and molding us. Matter of fact, it is his desire, Romans 8 and verse 29, that we become conformed to the image of his Son. That was predestined from the beginning. That was God's plan all along, that we become like his Son. And the more like him we be, the less like the world they will see. And so that will appear strange. And so that's what that's talking about, Ben. Yeah, we are a strange lot, those that walk in the Spirit, those that walk according to the Word of God. But let's not be ashamed of that. Let us just be proud that we are like our Lord. Now, the question is, are we like our Lord? There's the problem. Unfortunately, too many times, we look like, smell like, behave like, we're too much like the world. And I'm so glad that God is going to sort that out one day. But Lord, help us all that we be just like his Son. That should ever be our prayer. Thanks, Ben, very much. Good question. Great passage. Please, those of you that just turned to that, go back over that and read that again. Make certain that I didn't mess it up in any way worse than what I did. And so check it out. Make certain of that because you'll receive a blessing. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or if you would like to text us, you can text in your question at 725-9283.
We have another call calling in today with a question. It says, can a modern-day person be a prophet? Can a modern-day person be a prophet? That's a very good question for us. We sure appreciate you calling in. And also, we really do appreciate you listening. And for those of you who listen week after week after week, we're prayerful that the things that we share with you are helpful to you, but that you also go back and you search those scriptures to make sure the things that we say are in fact so. And so going back to the question, can a modern-day person be a prophet, and the idea of prophet today? Now, if we understand the word prophet correctly, that word prophet carries with the idea of one who speaks forth the Word of God or speaks openly the Word of God. It is a proclaimer of a divine message. And so this divine message is coming not from the individual, but from God. Now, the way God would use prophets, as we understand in the Scripture, was to reveal his word, was to make known his revelation. That's one of the things Paul brings out in Ephesians, the third chapter. In Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about how that by revelation, in verse 3, he made known to me the mystery, and I have briefly written already. So Paul says that God was revealing to him the revelation, and what he was doing, he was writing it down. He says in verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So I wrote it down, you read it, you understand my knowledge. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So what Paul says in his day is that God was revealing his word by or to the apostles and to the prophets. Now, Paul says what he was doing, he was writing it down. And so that's how you and I got this Bible. It came by way of those to whom the Spirit had filled, and God thus was revealing his word to them, and they were writing it down. Now, the real question is, do we have all of the revealed Word of God? Because if we do, then there cannot be a modern-day prophet today, because the very purpose of the prophet was to reveal the Word of God. I take you over to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. If 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 is correct, if it's true, then that answers the question. And what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as his divine power, Peter says, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. What Peter says is in his day, what he had was all things that pertain unto life and all things that pertain unto godliness. And then that was given, that was taken, that was written down, and we have that. That's what he says here. As his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And so if the Bible is complete, then no, there cannot be any modern day prophets. And what we understand about the scripture is that the Bible is in fact complete. This is in fact the word of the completed word of God. In fact, I tell people you can't have it both ways. You can't believe that the word is complete and still believe in modern day prophets. Conversely, if you believe in modern day prophets, you're saying that you don't believe that the Bible is complete. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gave his scriptures so that everyone could be complete, so that everyone could be equipped. For the Bible says here, every good works. And so if we have the completed word of God, these are the scriptures that he's talking about, that what we have, what we call our Bible, then we have all that we need, all that pertains to life and godliness, all that we need for every good work. I hope that's been helpful to you. If you join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. If you wish, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. It is time for us to take another break. While we are at break, we encourage you to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course, or what we call the in-home Bible study that you can get in the mail. That's free of charge, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. You'll have the opportunity to sign up for that by calling the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. While we're at break, go ahead, call in your questions right now. Again, that number is 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are live now. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and so please go ahead and join us right now. If you have a Bible question, don't miss out on getting it answered today. The number is 308-9564. That is the voice line. If you want to call in, you can go live over there if you would like, or if you would rather, you can have your question written down and brought in to us. Either way, go ahead and call in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. We also have a way to text us. If you'd rather text us, you can do that at 725-9283. Now, the correspondence course that we just told you about is free. We will get that in tomorrow's mail. You'll get it. We literally have thousands of people in this area that are on correspondence courses. Now, some of you sometime do not fill it out and send them back. Please, you don't get any good out of it if that's what you do. And so we want you to study God's Word, go through, fill it out, send it back in. We will grade it. In turn, we will send it back to you with the next lessons, the second round, and then the third round will even include more lessons. And so please don't miss out on learning those things in God's Word that you and I both need before we leave this container behind, this body of ours. And that's what it's all about. We live in this life, as James 4 and verse 14 says, what is our life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So if you can picture a pot of boiling water on your stove, and oh, the water is just briskly boiling, and you walk over to it and you see it splattering and such, and you look at that steam coming up from the stove, and you think, wow, that's something. But just a few inches above it, all that steam just disappears. Well, now, if you think about it, that steam is what represents our life. It is there for just a moment of time and then vanishes away. And so, my friends, please do not vanish away. That is, depart this life not being prepared. The only way to be prepared is for us to see what God says and do what God says. We shouldn't be just a hearer of God's word. We should be a doer of it. James 1 and verse 22. So let's learn what he says, first of all, and then let's go about doing what he says. And so that course will help you. Of course, studying and listening and studying and applying God's word will also be of great value to you. So it's important for us to learn and do what God says. So let's follow through. You know, we mentioned earlier about a couple of wonderful examples in the Bible. One was the fellow that came from Ethiopia, and he had traveled about 1,500 miles, 1,000 to 1,500 miles, in order to worship God according to the law of Moses. And he was on his return trip, and God saw his heart, his earnest desire to serve the Lord, and sent Philip to tell him what he needed to do. This man, who was of great authority, he was wealthy, he was no doubt very educated and of a different race, and yet he was willing to listen and ask questions and even spend the average man's wage, a whole year's wage, just to own Scripture. And so you look and you say, okay, this man was eager. Yes, he was. My question now for you is, are you so eager? Do you have that kind of heart? Does that really describe you? If you earnestly desire the truth, not what man comes up with, but the truth that comes from God's word, we want to hear from you. Matter of fact, please, when you call the operator standing by, just say, I would like a visit. I would like to study with someone in person. And we will do our best to make that happen. The number, 553-5157, and she won't ask you. You've got to let her know. You've got to tell her, I want a visit and a Bible study from someone. And we will do our best to make that happen, if you're in this area, that is, in this metropolitan area. That number, 553-5157. If that sounded like you, someone that is eager, hungry, asking questions, willing to do whatever it takes, traveling days after days just to honor God and serve the Lord, then that is the kind of heart that God is seeking, that good and honest heart to bring forth much fruit. So please do not miss out on this opportunity. We want to hear from you. Again, that number is 553-5157.
The lines are open. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. It's very quiet in here. And so you can get your question in without waiting in line if you call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. As Ricky mentioned, the Ethiopian eunuch showed, again, characteristics of a person that was diligently seeking after God, much like this man Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter, who would, in fact, when he's told by the angel to send for Peter, he would send for Peter. His people would give an appraisal of him, showing that he is very much a religious man, a godly type man, spiritually minded type man. And yet we still found in Acts the 11th chapter and verse 14 that this man, for as good as he was, this man was still lost. This man was not saved. He was good. He was just not good enough. The only way to be good enough is in Christ Jesus. And so then Peter, hearing the words of the men that was sent to him, would then head to Cornelius' house. And then Cornelius would see him coming in verse 25 of Acts chapter 10. The Bible says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Again, showing the kind of heart of Cornelius. Cornelius was wrong for worshiping man, but he was showing that he was prepared to do whatever it took to be right with God. And in verse 26, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Peter says, I'm just a man. And at that point, Cornelius would recount all that had happened to him and how that he had been told to send for Peter. And verse 33, he says, after he was told all these things, he says, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Cornelius was not the only one there to hear God's word, but Cornelius had gathered his entire family, and his whole family was there. So all his relatives, verse 24 says, and on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So here's what he did. He got all his close friends and relatives together in the house, knowing that Peter was coming, so that they all could hear the word of God. And he's very clear that he didn't want to hear the word of Peter, but that he wanted to hear the word of God. And verse 33 again, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. He says, we're not gathered here to hear you. We want to hear what God has to say. And again, that shows the nature and character of this man, Cornelius, the kind of heart that he has. Are you that type of person? Are you willing to gather your friends and relatives together in a home to come and hear what God has to say from his inspired word? If that's something that you are interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by. And again, as our schedules will permit, we will try to get to you and to be able to open up our Bibles and study together. Again, that number to the operator standing by is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Now, to join us here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564, or you can text your question in at 725-9283.
You know, they may want to host let the Bible speak there in their home or in their community. And if that is your desire and you can get a group of people together there in your home, we will try to make that happen as well. We will make arrangements to where that we can come and just let the questions come, one right after another, and we'll go to the Bible for the answers every time. That's something that can be afforded to you in the Charleston, North Charleston, Goose Creek, Ladson, Somerville area, even out to Monk's Corner and other parts of reaching out. Please don't miss out on this opportunity. We will try to make this happen if that is your desire. So, also call the operator standing by and say, I would like to host a Let the Bible Speak in my community. And we will try to make those arrangements ASAP. So don't miss out. We're also in the process of trying to plan another gospel meeting. And so be sure to stay tuned each week, and we'll give you more details about that as they become available. We have a caller calling in. Their name is Lutalo, and so their question is, in Daniel 8, when he describes in that vision, please clearly determine what this vision means, and does it pertain to today? Well, Lutalo, I know I'm saying your name wrong, so please forgive me, but let's start with the last part of your question, and that is, does it pertain to today? Well, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, Jesus himself says, and then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, that would include Daniel, and Psalms concerning me. Earlier, even toward the beginning of his ministry, he said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so he fulfilled all things pertaining to him. That is a done deal. And so that's, first of all, we need to know that that it's not a matter of applying some of those visions in Daniel to today. That was all fulfilled. Now, when we go back to Daniel chapter 8, is a interesting chapter. It is one of the visions that was given to Daniel through God gave to him. And each one of these visions were very similar and overlapping. Each one of them were talking about kingdoms that were yet to come. And you reference chapter 8. And so there we see that there is the kingdom of the Medo-Persians that we're referring to there. The Medo-Persian Empire that was depicted by the ram in the first part of the chapter, that was fulfilled in its time. And then after the Medo-Persian Empire, in beginning with verse 5, we see that that is talking in reference to Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. As you look and see, they followed or conquered the Medo-Persian Empire. And then when you go on a little bit further, you see that the next kingdom referred to as it unfolds was the king of the north, or the Antiochus. I could have said that if I hadn't have tried. The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire took over after the Grecian Empire, after Alexander the Great did his. And so that was a very familiar unfolding throughout the book, the last half of Daniel. There were four empires in all referred to. There was the Babylonian Empire, then the Medes and Persians kind of worked together. They conquered the Babylons. And then there was the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, and then the Roman Empire took over after them. Now, why are all these visions put in here? Because it brings out that during that last kingdom here, depicted by the goat, that it was going to be, this last kingdom, the Roman Empire, that there was going to be a kingdom that was set up that would not be made with hands, and that kingdom there would be no end. That would be the kingdom of Christ. In John 18 and verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered unto the Jews. But my kingdom is not from hence." Matter of fact, when they even asked Jesus about that, he said in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, he says, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And so the kingdom of God was going to be a spiritual kingdom, not of this world. It was not going to be locations like what these empires were, depicted by these animals and such, and by the statue in chapter 2 and so on. It was going to be a kingdom that was a spiritual kingdom that would never be consumed. It would be eternal kingdom, and Christ was going to be the king, and he is the king. And he claims that it was his kingdom, John 18 and verse 36. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, "Wherefore receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with godly fear." Paul claimed to be in that kingdom. He was translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. And then also John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, said he was in the kingdom, Revelation 1 and verse 9. So there in a big nutshell, it brings out that a number of things about this. These visions in Daniel were talking about it was pointing at the eternal kingdom that was yet to come through Christ Jesus. And so all of those are pointing that way. Now we are the beneficiaries of such a kingdom as that. He is king. We're his subjects. He's reigning on his throne by the right hand of God. And so, please, don't get caught up in some of the spectacular things that man has invented by pulling out these verses and taking them totally out of context. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much and hope that's been beneficial to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. It's just about time for us to take a break. We do want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and we'll be glad to get those questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, as we tell you about this correspondence course, we don't want you to miss out on this because it will be free. We're more than happy to send this to you. It is, you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never heard before, never seen in God's Word. There's a lot of churches that are ready to come up with all these different things. But let's just go to the Bible for the answer, and thus God will be blessed. So it's time for us to take a break. We'll go ahead and call in your questions while we're at break. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know that we are glad that you are joining us. And now is crunch time because there are a lot of people that are tuning in because of their getting out of services. So make certain that you jump in right now with your question, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Call in your question right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Both lines are available. Both avenues are available. Go ahead and call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 617. 617 says, does the Scripture say 1,000 will fall at one hand and 10,000 at the other in the 91st Psalm describe protection or something else? Well, very good question. I had to spend a little time looking at the text. What you can usually do in studying text like this is determine what's being said by the context. And so we go back up in Psalm chapter 1 through about 6, because verse 7 is where you comment on the 1,000 and the 10,000. Verses 1 through 6 really talks about God being a protector. I mean, that's the context. In verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. That's protection. He is my fortress. That is protection. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Cover, protect, that's protection. Under his wings you shall take refuge. Again, protection. His truth shall be your shield and a buckler. Your shield is the idea of protection. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. And the reason why you're not going to be afraid, according to this context here, is because, and if this is a Psalm of David, it is because God's going to be his protector. God is a protector. He's our refuge. That's the context. You get down to verse 7, and he paints this picture of why you shouldn't be afraid. In verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side. Now, I take the idea at your side. Here are soldiers that are fighting with. If this is talking about David, then it's with David. And though 1,000 soldiers shall fall at your side, don't worry. And verse 7, it says, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And why is that? Well, because God has just promised all this protection to him. And so I think you're right on as far as that, the context of Psalm 91. It seems to suggest that it is, in fact, talking about protection. Very, very good question and very good thoughts. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have John calling in this question. John, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your question very much. His question is ministry a calling? Well, John, the Bible uses the word ministry or minister in the form of a servant. And so when someone it becomes a child of God, well, they are called, and they are called to be servants, absolutely. But everyone is to be a servant that belongs to the Lord, not just a few. There's not such a thing as a level or an authority or, if you will, a position of minister with a capital M, where someone has been called to become a minister. There's nothing in the Bible about that to where that they are selected above everybody else. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, by which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everyone that becomes a child of God, they are called by the gospel. They're called by God through his word. And so every one of his servants are to be servants. Or if you want to use the word minister, that will be fine as long as you do not elevate it as I am slave over. I am slave, and therefore I am better than someone else. And see, that sounds so silly, doesn't it? But that's what the word means. The idea, I am a servant of all. And those that will be a servant, those are the ones that God is interested in. So is it a calling for a special calling, a position type thing? No. Is it a calling? Well, yes, we're called by the gospel, but it is not some kind of special hocus-pocus kind of spiritual event to where that my feelings are involved, because we aren't to follow our feelings. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death, Hebrews 14 and verse 12. Jeremiah, even so long ago, put it this way, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And so anything that we may feel in our bodies is not a calling from God at all. We're called by the gospel, by his word. And as we hear his word and we yield to what he says, then the Holy Spirit himself is calling us through that avenue, through his word. Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so the sword, the word of God, is what is calling us or beckoning us to put our lives in sync with him. Well, John's second question is, should ministers get paid? Well, I take it that you're talking about that as a special position of elevation to where that they are especially above everyone else. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about whether they should or shouldn't. The Bible just says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that a worker is worthy of his hire, even though that work or labor in the gospel should also, those that preach the gospel should also live of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9 brings out. And so there's nothing wrong with someone getting paid for their labor, but it is not, again, it is not an elevated position of honor. That's 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. It is not a place where that they are supposed to be treated better than anyone else or elevated, but everyone that labors should live in hope of being paid for such labor. That chapter goes on to say. So let me encourage you, John, to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and that will answer all the questions you have about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just read the whole chapter. There's a lot there, and you'll be able to understand. It's very easy to understand, but it's not a matter of elevating anyone to where that they are super saints, that they are better than anyone else, and that they should be honored above anyone else. It is a matter of that we're all servants, we all serve, we're all the same. And when Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, that's Matthew 28, verse 18, then that means he's got it all. All, he said, not part, all of it is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So he's the one to receive all the honor. So even the apostles did not allow themselves to be elevated and heaped up honor upon them more than anyone else. And we can see that especially also in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10, 11, 12. You might want to read there as well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Matter of fact, chapters 1, 2, and 3, he touches on that throughout those chapters. And so I hope that's not too much for you to look at. But to answer your question, Christ is to get all honor and glory, and we're all servants. And that's not with a capital S. So please, let's just go to the Bible for all the answers. It's very clear. The problem is people don't want to go to the Bible for the answer. Let's go there. Find out what God wants before we meet him and we go, uh-oh, that'll be bad news. Let's see what he says right now. Why not take the opportunity to enroll in a correspondence course that you'll learn things that you've never heard before? So let's don't miss out. We're going to a couple of minutes. We're going to give you that opportunity and give you the details on it. And don't miss out on that. Nick, you have another question?
Yeah, so I have a text question that came in. The last three digits, 111. Says, what can you tell me about the Seventh-day Adventists? Well, we sure appreciate you calling in. When we go through the Old Testament and also the New Testament, the word Adventist is not found in at least our modern translations. And I don't want to say it doesn't exist, but as far as I know, that is not found in any of our modern translations, or at least the ones I have access to. Now, Seventh-day is found. The word 7 day is found 47 times in the Old Testament and then one time in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. And that refers to the day of rest. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. Now, if you're talking 7 day Adventist from the standpoint of a religious group that meets and wanting to know their doctrine, the Bible just doesn't contain that. It doesn't talk about a Seventh-day Adventist. And so you would have to search other resources to gain information on what they may believe. But if we're trying to stick to the truest sense of this program of Let the Bible Speak, we do find Seventh-day and that typically refers to the day of rest. But we do not find Adventist in the scriptures, at least in our modern translations. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. It is time for us to take our final break, and so what we want to do is encourage you to go ahead and call your questions right now. Don't miss this opportunity. We're going to tell you a little bit about a Bible correspondence course. I think Ricky alluded to it earlier. Take advantage of the free correspondence course that we'll send you in the mail so that you can study in your home and continue to grow your knowledge. Again, this is just a tool or aid. It's not to replace the Word of God. Nothing can replace the Word of God. So go ahead and take advantage of it. If you would, go ahead and call your questions while we're at break, because we still have about 15 minutes or so, probably just shy of 15 minutes, and we will do our best to answer your question. 308-9564, that's the number to call. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we do want you to know that the correspondence course is free, and everything that we offer is free. Matter of fact, we'll use that phrase again. Please do not send us your tithes and offerings. Oh, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Come on the radio to someone to say that. Do not send us your contribution. Do not send us your offerings in any way. We do not want a donation. Please, let us send you. Let us donate something to you. That is riches that will never perish. And if we were to send you gold, and if all of a sudden we were saying, we're going to send everybody a gold sovereign that calls in the next 10 minutes, then I mean, probably the phone line would burn up. However, what we want to do is to send you something that will last a lot longer than gold. That is the precious Word of God and the treasure that He intends for us to have. So don't miss out. To get this correspondence course to you, let us send it to you. You will learn something more valuable than gold and silver or any jewels. That number is 553-5157. Don't miss out on this. We're more than happy to send it to you. It'll be in tomorrow's mail. 553-5157. We will never ask for a handout. You can talk to anybody that's already been on the course, and they'll verify this. We do not ask for or receive contributions from our Bible students. So please do not send us your tithes and offerings. Let us send you the riches that only God can give for an eternal treasure. So don't miss out on this. The number, there is an operator standing by right now, 553-5157. We have a few minutes left and a few questions left, but I think we have more time. If you want to go ahead and call in your question, the lines are available. The number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
Naya calls in today. Naya, we sure appreciate you calling in. Naya says, what age will God hold me accountable for my sins? Well, Naya, we sure appreciate you calling in, and that's a very good question. It really has everything to do with your ability to understand what God is asking of you. One, it starts with, do you see yourself as being lost? Do you understand what it means to be in a lost condition? Do you understand what it means to sin? You know, believe it or not, Naya, there are a lot of people that don't fully get what sin is. You know, it literally means to miss the mark, but much more than that is the idea of to transgress or to go beyond what God has said. And so when I go beyond what God has said, then I'm guilty of sin. And I have to come to understand what that is. You know, I have to come to understand what it means to repent. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, repent or you shall all likewise perish. Repent means to have a total change of heart. And so the Bible doesn't give us any set age, but the requirement from God is a person has to understand things like, who needs to be saved? A person who come to understand that they're in a lost condition. Who can repent but a person who understands that they need to repent, they need to turn away from their sins, and they actually have to have some sins to turn away from. So who needs to obey the gospel? Again, everybody needs to obey the gospel, but only when they can understand what that means. And that's really what it takes, Naya. And each person or each child, they grow and mature at different stages. And so there's no set age. It really has a lot to do with where you're at mature-wise and your ability to understand what God has required of you. If you'd like some information on that or you'd like to discuss that further, go ahead and call the operator standing by, and we can talk to you further about that. Again, that's 553-5157. For anyone else that's listening out there that's unsure, just call, and we'll be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about that or discuss it on the phone with you. 553-5157. Ricky, you have a question?
Yes, we have Tamika calling in this question. By the way, go ahead. If you want to get in your question, you better go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have 5 minutes left, so don't miss out on getting your question answered. Tamika's question, she has two of them, says, where can I find that adultery or death are the only scriptural grounds for divorce? And is that even true? All right. Well, Tamika, first of all, let's deal with the second part, death, and that is in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, I would encourage you to read the first 6 verses of the chapter. But when you right in the middle of these verses, you see this, beginning with verse 2, it says, for a woman who has a husband is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she be married to another, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. And so that shows about the death, and that is when someone dies, then they are no longer considered an adulterer or adulteress. And so then the other part of your question, the idea of grounds for divorce. Well, Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 19, I would encourage you to read verses 3 through 12 of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. And it is very clear exactly what is under discussion. They asked Jesus this question as well, what are their grounds for divorce? And he says in verse 4, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Well, Jesus answers the first time, it's not right to break up a marriage. Well, then they say, well, then why did Moses give them a commandment to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? And Jesus answered, Moses, because the hardness of your hearts permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Okay, number 2, he answers it again. Number 3, here's verse 9, it says, and I say unto you, whosoever divorces his wife, and I'm going to skip over the next phrase, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. There it is again. And whoever marries her that is divorced commits adultery. There it is again. Now, I skipped over a phrase. Yes, I did that, but I warned you about it. The middle of verse 9, there is this phrase that he uses, except for sexual immorality or fornication, any kind of sexual activity outside of a rightly married husband and wife. And so there is the only exception to this rule, that a divorce is wrong. It will cause adultery. That's the only exception that is given. You might say, whoa, boy, that's really strong. Well, the disciples came to the same conclusion in verse 10. The disciples said to him, well, if that's the case of a man and his wife, it's better not to marry. And Jesus responds by saying, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. That would be like Paul. Paul chose never to marry his whole life in order to serve the Lord. And so when you look at that, you can say, yeah, it's very clear what he's talking about. And yes, it is, Tamika. That's what it means. And there's the passage. You might also want to compare it with Matthew 5 and verse 32. Both of those teach the same thing. When you go to Luke's account and Mark's account, you find out the exception is not even put there, although the genders are swapped in another place. So don't miss out on seeing what God has to say. Marriage is meant for a lifetime, and there Jesus says it very clearly. Well, it's time for us to end our program today. We're just about completely out of time. We do want you to know that we appreciate you very much calling in and calling in your questions. And no doubt you are seeking after the joy and the happiness that only God can give. And so we are thrilled that you've taken out your time today to look into the Bible and to see what God has to say. And so we want you to know that through the Bible that we are glad to be able to share with you what He says, what God says in His Word. It will not come through seeking after physical things or money. It will only come by seeking after God. So, my friends, throughout this week, don't hesitate to go to the Bible for the answers. Matter of fact, let's just let the Bible speak.